Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob here, and I have a special podcast that I wanted to put out in the podcast feed because I want to highlight part of this past week's Purple Pants podcast from Bryce Isaiah. If you're somebody that hasn't heard Bryce's podcast, Bryce talks about all of the different TV shows that he's watching from week to week or stories from his life, and it's always a hilarious show to listen to. But on Bryce's latest episode of the Purple Pants podcast, Bryce spoke about the pain that he's been experiencing from the murder of George Floyd by the police in Minneapolis last week. I thought that the entire segment was so incredibly moving, and I just wanted to do what I could to amplify Bryce's powerful message about this subject to as many people as I can. So I wanted to pull that section of the podcast, play it for you here in case that you hadn't heard it in Bryce's podcast earlier this week. If you want to go back and hear the entire episode of the Purple Pants podcast, which has a great interview with Spencer Bledsoe, you can get that in the Purple Pants podcast feed at robisawebsite.com/PPP. But this section is about an hour and 8 minutes into Bryce's podcast. I pulled the entire section about Bryce talking about George Floyd, and I just thought it was so poignant that I wanted to play it here for you as well. Here's Bryce.
Keeping the menu rolling, we've got George Floyd on the podcast, and it is just something that's truly been weighing on my heart since the news broke on May 25th. And, you know, just everything that's been happening in our nation. And if you don't know, George Floyd was a 46-year-old African-American man that on May 25th was killed in Minneapolis by the police. Yes, another name added to this mini list of people that we have that have been killed at the hands of police. Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, Laquan McDonald, Tamir Rice, Philip Wright, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, and Trayvon Martin, even to that list. Like, you know, and that's just a snippet of the handful of African American and people of color that have been killed by police or have been killed and justice has not truly been served. So George Floyd's story is that on May 25th, he was headed to the Cups food store and was there to buy food for his family. And the clerk at the time called the police for a forgery in progress. Someone was using a counterfeit $20 bill, which I'd like to mention is a nonviolent crime. And we don't even know whether or not if it was George that was using the counterfeit $20 bill because this police force has not been truthful and forthcoming with a lot of information. So the information that we do know is that police arrived to the scene and George was not even in the store at the time. He was in a minivan outside the store. The police came, approached the minivan. George got out. And from the information that we know now was cooperating with the police, although the police have put out a story that, you know, the reason of his death and how he died was because he was not cooperating with the police. However, all of the information and video camera that we have seen, George was cooperating with the police. The police questioned George, and there's one thing leads to another, and we don't have a lot of the information, again, because this police department has been withholding a lot of the information. Some body cam footage has been released, but it's been heavily redacted, and a lot of the scenes of conversation have been muted. The majority of the information that we as citizens of this nation are receiving is from video camera footage of people that were there at the scenes and other stores in the area that have released footage. We see at one time from the video footage that George is put into the police car and it looks like that he is being assaulted while he's in the police car. Another time, George is on the side of a building and all of the things that we see, he is cooperating with the police. So this narrative that they are putting out saying that there's other evidence that shows that he wasn't cooperating, where's the evidence? Because the information that we see, it looks like he was cooperating. But the video that went viral and actually the killing of George is when we see George laying on the ground and three officers are putting their weight on his body and another officer kind of managing the small crowd that is there at that time, not doing anything to help George. Now, if any of you have seen the video where George is laying on the ground and Derek Chauvin has his knee on his neck, which is painful to watch because at this point, if you are saying that George is not cooperating with the police, at what point on this video that we see that is at least 8 minutes and 40 seconds long, 46 seconds long, that he is on the ground and being restrained with three officers on his body. Now, the issue of the video is that you have people that are standing on the side recording the video, and they are actually saying to Derek Chauvin, he cannot breathe. Why are you on his neck? He's not fighting back. And the whole video upsets me, but the part of the video that gets me most upset is that you actually hear George saying to the policeman, don't kill me. And I just got to take a second. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. I'm back. This topic is just so upsetting. And it's just like when you watch the video and you see the lack of the disregard of his life, it really upsets me, because it's like when I look at somebody like George, I see my brothers, I see my uncles, I see people that look like me, and the disregard for his life, it truly is disheartening, and it hurts so much. And it's like, if you've seen the video, you see George actually call out for his mother who is deceased. Any of you guys that have children, you know, if your child is hurt, you know that if something is going on with your child, who's the first person they call? Is their mother. And so you just have to think what was going through this man's mind that he is calling out for his mother, and that, you know, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, this man, this murderer, Derek, had his foot on this man's neck, and he's not fighting back. He can't breathe. And the look on his Derek's face, that he's just casually has his foot on his neck as he essentially is executing this man. And so for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, Derek had his foot on his neck. And even in that 8 minutes, 2 minutes and 53 seconds of that video, George was unresponsive. So you've got your foot on his neck with two other officers on him, and he's unresponsive, and another officer manning the crowd, and that could have easily said, guys, let go, like, release. Derek Chauvin did not take his foot off of George's neck until the ambulance arrived, and he was at that point unresponsive, and they put him into an ambulance. And so it appears from all of the evidence that we have seen from this district attorney and this police force that they really tried to cover this up, and it wasn't until the nation that this video went viral that we demanded justice and that we demanded things. The district, and you know, at that point in time, Derek had not been arrested, nor had he been charged. And the district attorney even went to have a press conference to say that, you know, there's other information that shows George being not cooperative with the police, and essentially blaming it on him. But nevertheless, there was an arrest with Derek, and he was charged with third degree murder and second degree murder. Now, we've seen this before in a lot of these cases with some of the names that I've listed before. Yeah, you get charged with murder and then they acquit these police officers. And so my question is, what about those other three police officers? Okay, why are they not charged? Why have they not been charged? Because they, one, the officer that wasn't even on his body, he was implicit in that because he stood and watched as they executed this man. The other two police officers that were on his body when he was unresponsive, or when he was detained, you guys had him detained on the ground and you still were there and did nothing. And so there is a big outcry from the public that says these people need to be charged. And since all of this information has come out, we, the public, learn of the mistreating of this case, them trying to hide information, them not being forthcoming with the information, people are outraged, and rightfully so. So over the weekend, protest for the life of George Floyd took over a lot of the nation, all around the country, even here in Philadelphia. And a lot of the protests were peaceful, and some of the protests turned into rioting and looting. And so here's a conversation that I just want to have, and that, you know, I've seen it a lot on my timeline. I've been getting a lot of heat on Twitter that I'm, you know, I don't condone the rioting and the violence, but this is what I will say to that, is when a person yells for help and no one comes, when they scream for help and no one comes, when they are pleading for help and no one comes, then what? You know, how do you get your voice heard? How do you understand this? So you just have to understand the rage that is in these people that are rioting and that are doing these things and looting stores. Now, I don't condone the looting stores. I don't condone the rioting, but I understand that we are hurt, that people like myself, people that look like my family members, people that look like my loved ones are being executed, and it's okay. It's all right. And, you know, people are saying, well, it doesn't equate to burning down a building. Well, guess what? Does a human person's life equate to a property? No, it doesn't. So if a building burns down, listen, they're insured, they're covered, okay? But let's not lose sight at what is going on here, that they are executing African-American men at an extremely higher rate, and nobody's talking about it. And so this is where these protests, this is where these rioting are coming from. These people are mad. They are upset. Okay? And I understand. I feel that same rage and that same pain, but I'm blessed enough to have a platform that I can talk about it on, that I could reach people on. These people don't. This is all that they know. So you just have to understand where they are coming from. Do I condone that type of behavior? No, but I understand. Okay? And I'm not going to judge those people for doing that because they are trying to get their voices out. Okay? A lot of those things were protests, okay? A lot of those things were nonviolent, and a handful of these things kind of like turned the tide. And of course, that's what's making the headline. That's what's overshadowing what's going over here. But baby, it's not confusing me, okay? I know what the purpose of it was, and it's for George Floyd, okay? And it's important for people to know that Black Lives Matter, okay? And I'm tired of people with the Black Lives Matter that come back, well, all lives matter. Okay, we're not saying that. But right now what we are saying is Black Lives Matter. And Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's wife, posted a photo of Kobe wearing I Can't Breathe. And, you know, related to another police incident of killing an unarmed African-American man. And somebody came back to her and was like, I appreciate what all that you've been through, but all lives matter. And Vanessa Bryant came back with the perfectest clapback. She said, I understand that you're saying all life matters, but what I'm saying that if we say all houses matter, right? And one house on the block is burning down, does that house not matter? And that's what we are saying when we say Black Lives Matter. We're not saying that we're more important than anyone else, but what we are saying is that we are under attack, okay? We are under attack, and that these people are killing us, and we need help, okay? We, like, no one is doing anything about it. And so this weekend I had posted something to my Instagram that says, like, we no longer can be silent, okay? To my Purple Pants Posse, to my friends that are not people of color, you no longer can just sit in the sideline and not say anything. You gotta be our ally. You've gotta come to our support. We are in this together. We are all human beings, okay? And I don't wanna get too preachy because I know some of you guys don't, you may not agree with what I'm saying, but that's okay because it's important that you just hear me. We don't always have to agree on things, but it's important for us that are on different sides of the table to be able to come together and, you know, talk and to hear each other out. Because for so long, me as a Black gay man in this country have not been heard. I'm looked at as less than. And if you guys don't believe it, then you're turning a blind eye. And I think that it's important. It's just important for us to be seen. And it's important to realize that Black lives do matter. And if I'm offending some of you guys, you know, I don't even know if I apologize, because what I'm telling to you is that my life matters. Okay? My Purple Pants Posse, y'all love me. And if you love me, then you realize that my life matters, just like all of you guys' life matters. But you guys aren't being killed at an astronomical rate at the hands of people that are supposed to protect and to serve. And if you can't see that, if you are still saying, well, all lives matter, then you really need to take a good look at yourself. And you really need to kind of like understand the biases that you have, and that it's not fair. And it's not right. And I cannot stand and not do anything. I cannot stand and not use my platform for what I believe is true to be right. And I understand I may lose listeners. But listen, I have to do what's right in my heart and what I believe that is correct. And this is something that I can't stand for, because when I look at George, he looks like my dad. He looks like my brother. He looks like my uncle. And you know, that it's just something that I can't explain. And it's so disheartening to me that I have to explain this to my friends that don't get it. But listen, I will use the time and I will use my platform to try to educate and to try to understand and try to use it for people to understand that, listen, we're not saying we better than anybody else. We're not saying our lives are more important, but we are saying that our lives matter and that they are taking us out. And so it was weighing on my heart, Purple Pants Posse. So excuse me for going on, but you just have to understand, it's just so upsetting. It just like, it breaks my heart. And so I just wanted to let you guys know what was going on and my take on it. And I appreciate every one of you guys that like reposted, that are speaking out about injustices, because that's how we move the needle. That's how we can get something done in this country. Okay. All right. I'm going to end this topic because, baby boy, I got to wear my whistle and I just got to take a couple of seconds before I move on to the next topic, because I just have to gather my thoughts, because every time I talk about it, it upsets me. Like, and it's just like, it's just so crazy and it's mind boggling. But at the end of the day, I'm going to use what I feel like my purpose is here for. And my purpose is to deliver my message, just how I feel about the situation. And that's why I appreciate my Purple Pants Posse's, because you guys, you know, we get intimate here and I can share with you and we don't have to agree. We don't have to disagree, but don't have to be a yelling match. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening to me. I appreciate it.
I can't think of a time that I ever listened to anything on a podcast where I was so moved as I was when I listened to that last night. I'm so proud to have worked with Bryce on the Purple Pants podcast for this last year. Thank you, Bryce, for sharing your heart with us. And I hear you. Bryce is right. We can no longer be silent. We can no longer sit on the sideline. I want to be a part of creating the world that I want to leave to my children. And we need to get this right for this generation and for future generations. I've made a donation to Campaign Zero for $846 to symbolize the 8 minutes and 46 seconds that Derek Chauvin pressed his knee on the neck of George Floyd. Campaign Zero supports the analyzing of police practices across the country. Campaign Zero has a tenfold plan to incorporate change, to create police accountability, develop legislation, and better train officers to end police violence. Currently, they've developed an 8 Can't Wait initiatives, which are 8 policies that can be enacted by police departments that can decrease the chances of police violence by 72%. I'm the son of a police officer. I've been around police all through my childhood, and I believe there are many, many good police officers, but we need to work to reform our police departments to remove racist officers and practices. If you would like to join me in supporting Campaign Zero, you can donate at joincampaignzero.com. Send me a note on social media or privately at rob@robhasawebsite.com. I'll match your contributions to donate a second $846 to Campaign Zero. I want to do more to keep this conversation going for this community that we've built over these last 10 years, especially for my African-American friends and listeners of RHAP. You have my support in this fight. You have this microphone in this fight. You have this platform in this fight. Thank you, Bryce, for your message. Demand justice. Black Lives Matter.